Okay, all right. Good stuff, good stuff. Come on, can't you give God praise for what's happening here at Crosspoint? So encouraged by progress that's happening. Also want to encourage you in these 21 days of prayer. We're on day 15, everybody. Come on, give a whoop, whoop. There you go, all right. And something that we do intentionally around here, we do twice a year. We do in February, and also, again, we do that again in August. And that is we just set aside 21 days of really intentionally going after God in prayer. Beginning of the year, we do prayer and fasting for 21 days. We say in August you can do 21 days of prayer and feasting if you like, but we let you kind of follow the Lord on fasting. We actually talked about that a little bit last week, the fasting aspect. But we set these days aside intentionally for a couple of reasons, and that is that we're in seasons of our life, and we are approaching the fall season, where it's really a season of harvest, not only in the natural, but also in the spiritual. And so we're just setting this time aside to go after God with all of our hearts. So I just want to thank all those that are really participating in this, that are going all in. Some of you are through the week connecting with us at crosspointworshipcenter.com. The 21 days link there that we go to, and that service happens live from 8 to 7, but then it is also archived for 24 hours, so if that's not a good time, you can go to that anytime during the day. But also want to encourage you, on Saturdays, we meet here and do the service live here at 10, from 10 to 11, and I just want to encourage you, if you haven't participated in this so far on Saturdays, please come and be a part. This Saturday will be the culmination. It'll be of our 21 days. We pray that it won't just stop at 21 days, but go on to day 22. But encourage you in that to be here if your schedule allows you to, this coming Saturday at 10 a.m. right here at Crosspoint. So wanted to just kind of hit that important topic right up front, that we're right in the heart of these 21 days of prayer, and want to encourage you with that. But before I do anything else, before we get into this installment of this series, let me just say a warm welcome to all those that are just now joining us online. Come on, let's give it up for those that are with us. I'm glad to have you along for the ride. And media is an amazing thing. You heard in our video there just some reference to a live feed this week. I'm not used to doing that. Now, we do this live every Sunday, but I'm not used to just kind of impromptu going out on site saying, hey, how's everybody doing out there going live? We did that this week. Did anybody get to check that out? That was pretty cool. And I had 1.K views, so I thought that was pretty good for me. So anyway, just want to just say it's amazing how God is just giving us favor and 1.4K. Somebody's flashing something back there at me. I don't know. 1.4K. 1.4K. All right. Anyway, I'm really excited about this series that we're doing. Also, as we do these 21 days, as we are doing a series that I've entitled The Secret Place, The Secret Place. And I want to get into that today. But again, as we are in this series and as we are in these 21 days, the reason is that oftentimes in the summer we're in a season where you kind of, a lot of things are going on, a lot of activities. We got summer camp, you know, we got vacations, we got the mountains, we got the beach, we got the lake. We got everything happening. We got the eclipse. We got the apocalypse. I don't know what's happening. You know, we got a lot of activities that are happening. And I think sometimes it's good to just take a season to pull everything in and refocus on those things that really matter. And so we're doing that. And what really matters is, number one, our relationship with God. And also what matters to God, as we are in right relationship with Him, we'll soon discover that what matters to Him most is people. And so we're focusing on God, but we're focusing on the heart of God, which the heartbeat of God is always people. And so we're preparing for a harvest. When we talk about harvest, harvest is a biblical term, but what it simply means is people. It's people. And people, a lot of times they say, well, I just need a vision for my life. I need goals. I need a vision for my life. But whenever you see and study about visions in the scripture, you'll discover that vision is always linked to the harvest. So God's eyes, God's vision is always on people. He's always concerned about people. And I want to tell you, God's eye has always been on you. From before you were born, God's eye has been on you. And his eye has never left you. He knows every detail of your life. He's concerned about your life. His primary concern is about you. And I believe as believers and as followers of Christ, so should our heart be on following God with all of our heart. And all of our heart, when we're all in for him, is really focused on people. And so we're preparing for the season of fall and believing for people to come to Christ. So I want to encourage you, invite people this fall. I'm going to be doing a standalone message next Sunday on vision, a vision Sunday. And then in September, we're going to start a new series that's going to be very life-giving. It's going to be the kind of series that you can invite your friends to. Every Sunday around here is that. But we especially want to put emphasis on making things very simple. Cookies on the bottom shelf, everybody, you know, where everybody can get to them. And so if you'll invite your friends, we make this promise to you. We will respect them and honor them, and we will not embarrass you, but we're going to do everything we can to as clearly as possible present the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ that will change lives. So I encourage you to do that, to invite your friends and encourage them to come. But, you know, the scripture, when we talk about it's coming in the fall, we know that the harvest is coming in the fall. Actually, scripture tells us that the harvest is now. John 4:35, I gave this to you this last week. I want to give this to you again. It says, Jesus said, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest. Like, okay, one day God's going to do something in my life. One day God's going to use me. One day great things are going to happen. But he says, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. So I just want to say the time is now. Everybody say now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. And why is it that Jesus would have to point this out, that to open your eyes and look? Well, the point is oftentimes we do miss it because we're looking at other things. We're distracted. And that's why we're setting aside 21 days to focus our attention, to focus our eyes on what really matters and refocus things on those things that are important. And we've talked about these three areas during this series, and that is that when we talk about getting things back in focus, a lot of times we want to kind of start with things around us and get things around us in order and organized, meaning the external things. But really that's the place we should end up. The place we should start is, and let me throw this up for you again, is that first we focus on the eternal. We get our relationship right with God. Then God comes on the internal, and he changes us on the inside, and then the external will follow that. Come on. And see, we got that off that list oftentimes very backward. And so God wants to realign ourselves and understand that first we seek him, right? Then he takes care of us, and then he's going to use us to take care of what is around us. So we're discovering what is eternal in this series. We're discovering those things that matter. We're going after God. And so we're setting ourselves to discover the eternal, to discover God, and to discover a place in him that we are calling, and the Bible calls, the secret place. And it begins right here. Let me give you this foundational scripture for this three-part series, and it's found in the 91st Psalm that says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I encourage you today, I won't take time, but I encourage you today sometime, if you haven't already, go and read through the 91st Psalm. And in that psalm, you'll see a lot of things that are provided for you, a lot of provision, a lot of protection, a lot of assurance, a lot of God's promises to you. But all of that is hinging on he who dwells in the secret place. All that falls under the person who discovers this place called the secret place. And so in week one, we talked about this as a place of prayer, the place of prayer. And we went through that. And then there's a second place, and it's called the place of fasting. And then today we're going to talk about a third place, and that is the place of giving. Now, where does this come from? Well, it comes from the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus was teaching, and he mentioned in Matthew chapter 6 three areas: the area of prayer, the area of fasting, and the area of giving, these three things. And what I believe is that when we do these three things, it's like Ecclesiastes says, It says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And I believe what Jesus is giving us in Matthew chapter 6 are three areas of our life. If we will put these practices, these disciplines in our life, you're going to see that you're going to be strengthened. You're going to see that God's going to show up in your life in an amazing way. And so I encourage you in these three areas. And Jesus talks about that. I want to make sure you see this very clearly. I've alluded to these each week, and we broke each of these down, but let me kind of show it to you again. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he says this. He says, and when you pray, not if, but when you pray, in other words, that's just going to be a part of your life. As one person said, if you don't have a prayer life, you don't have a life, right? So this needs to be a part of your life. You need to have a certain time, a certain place, a certain plan. Go back and listen to week one if you missed that. All of our messages are archived online at crosspointworshipcenter.com. You can listen to that again. But there's a place of prayer. And he says, and when you pray, look at this, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And you'll see this theme happen in all three of these places that Jesus is talking about. He says, when you pray, your Father's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret place will reward you openly. So you're not doing it with the wrong motives. You're not doing it to be seen. You're going to this private place where you have a meeting with God. And what happens is, when you have the private place, God shows up in the public place. And if you expect God to show up in the public place and you haven't met with him in the secret place, you're going to be looking for a while. You see what I'm saying? In other words, I don't see why things externally aren't happening in my life. Why aren't things going my way? Why am I having such a difficult time? Well, but where is God? Well, he's found in the secret place. And when you find him in the secret place, I'm telling you, he's going to show up in the private place. He said there's a reward. In every one of these, there's a reward attached to that. And the reward is him. The reward is his presence. But he says that your Father who's in the secret place, he's going to see you, meeting him there. You're going to have a meeting, and then he's going to reward you. Look at that, openly. And then look at the next place that we talked about last week, Matthew chapter 6 again, verse 16. He says, moreover, when you fast to your Father who, there it is again, in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Same wordage. So he's saying that when you are doing this not to be seen, not, hey, look at me, but you're doing this unto the Lord with the right motives. We broke that down last week, unpacked that for you. Go back and check that out. But again, there's that reference to the secret place. Well, now let me give you the third place today in this final installment of this series. But interestingly, if you look at those references, I referred to beginning in verse 5 and then in verse 16. Well, this point actually is in verse 1. So we kind of did it out of order. We talked about prayer, fasting, and giving. Jesus didn't do it that way. He talked about giving, praying, and fasting. So really, the giving part was on the top of his list, okay? On the very top. And look what he says here. In verse 1, he says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Look at this. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And there it is again. He's saying what is done in secret, there's going to be a reward openly. So when you fast and when you pray, and what he's referring to is giving, and there's various forms of giving. We'll talk about that. So here's what we've got so far, folks. We've discovered this, and that is that prayer connects us to God, and fasting disconnects us from the world. With me? Prayer connects us to God, and then fasting disconnects us from the world. But look at this. Giving opens up your life to God's favor. Again, notice, giving was the first thing on God's list. For many, it's the last thing. But what I want us to see here is really it should be first, because it is the thing that will open our life. Now you think about it. When you give something away, in order to give something, you say, I've got something in my hand and I'm gonna give something away to you, I gotta open my hand for you to take it, right? I can't just say, here, take. Oh, I didn't plan on doing this. Somebody help me. Come here, Laura, help me here. So if I'm gonna give you this, here, take it. That's bad. I'm sorry. Bible's the first thing I could. Anyway, but that's good. We're giving away the word. Okay. So I'm holding on to this thing. Well, the only way she's going to get this is as I open my hand. Okay. And there's a release there. Well, when that also happens, something else happens. My hand is now open. Oh, good. Thank you, Lord. Good job there. So we didn't rehearse this, y'all. Okay. But it opens my hand to be able to receive something. And so I can't afford to let go of this. I gotta hang on to this. Let's use the worship guide, okay? I just gotta hold on to it, and we just, you know, but let me tell you something. There's something that happens spiritually when we open up and we release. It opens our life up to God's favor. And I wrestled with this as I was putting this together. Do I use the word blessings? It opens up to God's blessings. And sometimes when we hear blessings, sometimes we just think tangible, material things, you know. And so we that's limiting, because that's just temporary stuff sometimes. Or God's reward. And then I'm thinking, in which the scripture refers to. But I chose this word favor because there is God's favor that he has for us, and he has. Look, he has all of heaven that he wants to bless us with. And when we open up our hands and our life to God, he's able to release things into our life that he already has for us, and he's waiting for us to open up our life where he can put it in our hands. Does that make any sense? Let me give you an example of this. Okay, you just heard the story about how some of you may not be familiar with our whole story here, but this church started actually it was organized in 1988. Technically, we started in our Bible study in the apartment of me and my wife, Kim, in 1987, okay? We started in our apartment, and then we went on to campus and met in the Denny building right across the street. And then this property became available, and what was over here was vacant land and a house, okay? So we took the house, and we tried to make it look as much as possible like a church, okay? And so we met there for several years. Many lives were changed. Precious people came, and some precious people left, and, you know, just ministered, you know, in a place like that, it was kind of a revolving door. People would come, people would go, but we had the opportunity, the privilege to minister to some wonderful people, see lives change. It was wonderful. But then we took a step of faith, and we said, well, we need to get out of the shoebox, and we need to build something that we can kind of more embrace this community. And so we took this huge leap of faith to build this building. And it should have taken about 4 or 5 months, but actually it took 40 years in the wilderness. No, it didn't take that long. It felt like it, but it should have taken 4 or 5 months. It took about 4 or 5 years. Because we were the weeds of the story is that we were paying a contractor and he wasn't paying the subcontractors. Don't you feel my pain, our pain? And so if you've ever been through a scenario like that, and so we were it was tough, and I was beside myself saying, God, how in the world are we going to fix this building? We were paying every month on a building that we couldn't get into. And it was terrible. And we had a building half finished. I wanted to put a sign out front, y'all, right here on 49 to say, we didn't run out of money. We were robbed. but you know, we were paying every month on a building that we couldn't get into. We still had the same mortgage payment we would have if we were in here, but we couldn't get in here. And I was praying and praying. We were doing everything. I had went through every scenario. I did everything known to mankind, I felt like myself, to get us in this building, and nothing was happening. And I got to tell you, in 2008, we began the year with prayer and fasting. And I'm not saying this to bring attention to us, but I'm just letting you know how this thing worked. That's the purpose of this story. We did a 40-day prayer and fasting. And I'd never done a 40-day in my life. I thought I was going to die. Actually, I found out it was the opposite. It was great. It was wonderful. But at the end of that, listen, this is the part I want you to hear. At the end of that, I began to ask God, you know, what, you know, help us. Because we're still sitting here, we're not being able to get into this building. And the Lord took me to a scripture I want to share with you that's found in Isaiah chapter 58. And he then began to show me what a true fast really is. And so to set this up, God refers to Israel saying that, you know, you're doing all these things, you're presenting yourself like you're following me, you're praying, you're asking, and yet you're saying, God, but where are you? Where are you? And he then begins to say, because the fast that you're fasting is not the fast I want. I want something different. It's not to be seen. It's not to be heard. It's not to impress me. You're not doing it to get my attention because you already got my attention. Okay, and so this sort of takes a little bit of last week and this week's and pulls them together. It's talking about fasting, but what I wanted to see, he points us to giving. Isaiah 58 in verse 6, he says, is not this the kind of fast I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter when you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then, now look what happens. He says, so in other words, my fast is that you go out and you minister to people, that you give, that you invest, that you care about people. And he says, if you'll do it this way, this is what will happen. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Goes on to say, then you will call, and the Lord will answer, and you will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, That's just social media right there, y'all. Anyway, and if, sorry, a little insert, bring into 2017. And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. So when everything else is dying around you, God's going to take care of you. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the old, age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of broken walls and the restorer of streets with dwellings. Now that's the promises God gives us, but when we do it this way. Now here's what it's saying here. What it's saying here is, if you will take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. If you'll follow me, everything else is going to follow you. If you'll tend to those things that matter to me, I'm going to pour into you and through you. So here's what we did. So again, we're in this place, we're praying, we're fasting, and God brings this scripture to my heart. And then he lays a need on my life in this community. And near our church, there was a community that was a little bit impoverished, okay, and had a lot of needs there. And so I began to think about this community, and I thought, well, I'm just thinking of this. And I realized it wasn't just me thinking about this. It was that God actually laid this on my heart. In fact, every time I thought about this community, something welled up inside of me. I began to cry. There were tears that would run down my face. And I said, God, what is this? Why am I getting so emotional over this? And then the Lord helped me realize this wasn't your dream. This isn't your idea. This is my idea that I have placed in your heart. And so here's what we did. We went over to this community, and we actually went in and fed them. We had a big picnic, y'all. We had hamburgers. We had hot dogs. We had clowns. We had face painting. We had games. And I didn't preach. We just loved them. Okay, we just poured into them, and something different happened. Something happened. Beyond hamburgers and hot dogs and games and face painting, something happened supernaturally. I felt like, first of all, our church just grew. It wasn't just in the four walls. It was outside the walls now. By the way, that's where Jesus shows up. His anointing isn't just for Sunday morning. His presence is not just for Sunday morning. It's for where the needs are. That's where he shows up. That's where he shows up. I remember one scene, if I could share this with you, of a little boy who got his shoes messed up as he's out there playing. And they were new-looking shoes. And he was crying because he felt like his daddy was going to be upset with him. Well, with his mother's permission, I got down on my knees, and I took his little shoes off, and I began to clean up his shoes. And then I began to clean his feet that got dirty. And then it suddenly dawned on me, oh, my goodness, I'm doing some feet washing here. You know, that's in the Bible. And I'm thinking, oh, my. And I looked up, and his mom's standing there with tears rolling down her face. And I realized, oh, God, this is what you meant in Isaiah 58 of ministering to those in need. Instead of just staying in my house, praying and fasting and saying, God, where are you? Guess where he was? He was out there where the needs were, where the people were, and he was wanting me to meet him out there so he could, use me to pour through me to them. But in the process, God was going to bless me and take care of my needs in the process, right? Amen. So, let me kind of give you the rest of that story. What we discovered is a lot of those people came to this house not with their hand out, with their heart out, came to this altar, gave their heart to the Lord. Their lives changed. Many of them got some jobs and moved on, and life has improved, and it was just amazing. And then after that, I remember having this conversation with God. I said, God, and I'm looking again at this building, and I'm saying, when? When? And I don't know if I've ever really asked it like that. It's just a one-word prayer. When? And I heard this voice drop in my spirit, now. And I want to tell you, it was a now word. Because what could not move in all my efforts and all my doings began to move miraculously. I said this happened in 2008. You remember what happened in 2008? Everything collapsed economically. And so we got favor to be able to refinance in the midst of all that. In fact, the banker at one point called me up and said, we need to talk. You see what's happening on the news. And we went in. I thought the whole deal is going to fall apart now. Well, no, he said, if you had walked in here today, the answer would be no. But since we're already into this with you, we're going to continue. We're going to make the deal. I'm going to tell you, I talked to the banker this week. We're getting ready to refi in October. And he said, we're not going anywhere. We're with you. I want to tell you, that's God's favor. Why did that happen? It didn't happen because God was impressed with my praying, and God was impressed with my fasting. But God saw somebody that would open up and be able to be a person that would release heaven to other people. You hear what I'm saying? There was a release of heaven that came because we were willing to be an open hand in the hands of God. Let me tell you what giving does. Giving opens up heaven to you. Write that down somewhere in your notes there. Giving opens up heaven to you. I'm going to show it to you in a scripture found in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Now, in this context, again, Israel doesn't understand why things aren't happening, and God's explaining it to them in this area. And he says this in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Now, he's talking about tithing in this scripture, but then he says, that there may be food in my house. Notice what he says. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not, look at this, look at this, throw open the floodgates, one version says the windows of heaven, and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. So when we give, it allows there to be a release of heaven's blessings in our life. Because I don't believe God, there are givers and there's takers and givers, right? I think what God loves to do is give to givers. Because he knows that it's the gift that keeps on giving. When he gives to you and you're a giver, you're going to give it to somebody else. Why should he give it to somebody that's going to stop right there and be the end of the story? God doesn't want you to just be blessed just to be blessed. God wants to bless you to be a blessing, right? And bless someone else. So giving opens up heaven to you. So he says he'll open up heaven for you. Let me show you something else it'll do. Giving opens up heaven to you, but look at this. This is important. Giving opens you up to heaven. Write that one down. Not only does giving open up heaven to you, but giving opens you up to heaven. So you're not a person that's just, what's the right word here? We don't want to say tightwad. I know we don't want to say hoarder. You know, because that's really negative. But, a person just gets all they can and can all they get, just holds. But when you by faith, and it takes faith, it doesn't take finances, it takes faith, right? When you by faith release, I want to tell you, you become a different kind of person. There's something supernatural that happens on the inside. I remember when we walked over to that community, and I looked around, I saw ministry taking place. And I said, oh, my goodness. This is exciting. This isn't just boring church, going to church, sing four songs, have a sermon, go home, roast beef. No, this is ministry happening right here, guys. There was an openness that changed our church. Giving opens you up to heaven. I want to show it to you in a scripture found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, there's our first thing we talked about, by petition, that's what we do oftentimes when we're fasting. We're petitioning heaven. Oh, God, we just want to step away from the world and get into your realm and understand what you're saying to us. And then it says, and with, look at this, thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, hold it right there. Thanksgiving, we haven't received yet. Now, he says you present it in everything by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. You're still presenting your request, but you're doing it with thanksgiving. Giving, there's a aspect of giving in that that's a faith thing, right? We're having faith, God, that you're going to take care of it. So I'm thanking you. Prayer is not just praying and saying, give me, my name is Jimmy, give me. Prayer is not just a faith to ask. Prayer is a faith to receive. And how is that done? So we honor God. Through thanksgiving, we present a request to God. So there's a spirit of giving within us. We're going to give him thanks. We're not going to say, well, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I remember growing up, I had a guy in my church, an older guy come in. I don't know where he came from, but he'd come in every now and then. And his prayer, I could hear him. I was a little teenager. I could hear him praying, oh, God, some way, somehow. And it came across to me like he had no ounce of faith that God was going to answer his prayers. Like some way, somehow, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I don't know how you're going to do it. It just didn't. But I'm talking about a prayer with thanksgiving, saying, God, I thank you that you are the way, that you are the how, and that you're going to answer prayer. And look what happens. Look at the next verse. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, something happens in your heart. Something happens in your understanding. Something happens in your mind. Something changes when you have this thing of giving. Giving opens you up to heaven. So let's ask some simple questions. Then what do I give? Well, the Bible talks about some different categories of that. One is tithe. We know what that is. It's 10% of our giving. We're giving God first. We see that throughout Scripture in many forms. We also know that the reason for that is it is about declaring, God, you are first in every area of my life. You are first. Also, by the way, we're talking about giving here, but really the Bible never says give your tithes. It only says bring, because you can't bring that doesn't belong to you. I mean, you can't give that doesn't belong to you. Does that make sense? You can only bring it because it's already God's. God, the first belongs to God. That's what the Bible says, right? So you can't give tithes. You can only bring it because it's already his. You can do one thing. You can either bring it or steal it. Well, this is harsh, isn't it? Welcome to Crosspoint, okay? But I'm just speaking truth, okay? So the tithe is on God. Now, you say, well, I'm not where I need to be in that area. Well, start somewhere. I would just say encourage you. I just encourage you. Start somewhere. Again, take a step of faith. Maybe it's 1%. Start there. But start somewhere and be consistent. Maybe say, I'm only give $5 a week. Start there, but be consistent. And let God grow your faith. And you'll discover. God says in this, test me and see, all right? So there's the tithing of that. I encourage you to do that. Then he says, then there's also offerings, okay? Your offering is an offering until it exceeds your tithes. Because God says, where have you robbed me? In the verse before that in Malachi, and they said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. So we're bringing the tithes to him, and then above that, we're going to give him offerings as the Lord leads you in that, right? And as you love the Lord, you're giving unto him cheerfully and willfully. And then there's the area of alms, okay? And maybe even this area would be more of what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 6, where he says these charitable deeds or alms, these acts of kindness. Alms can be monetary. Alms can be tangible things. It can involve time. It can involve talent. So those are different areas of how that we can give. We can give of our time. We can give of our talent. We can give of our abilities. We can give of ourselves to others. We can invest. I don't have that much money. Well, then we're going to invest our time in people. We're going to do what God calls us to do. It may be a community God lays on our heart. We're going to go give them some hamburgers and hot dogs, right? Or we're just going to let somebody know. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a card. But we're going to do something for others. We're going to give. We're going to be a giving people. And it is the nature of God. For God so loved that he gave. I'll get into that in a moment. So what do I give? But how do I give? Well, we know that these scriptures are talking about the secret place. So when you do things in secret, you got to do it with the right motive in mind. Not a look at me, but rather look at God. We want all the credit and praise go to God. Look at that scripture again. It's found in Matthew chapter 6. Let me return back to the scripture again. He says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Surely I say to you, they have the reward. Hold it right there on that verse. When I read that, as I'm studying this scripture, all I could see was social media, y'all. I mean, all I could see was, how many likes did I get? I got 1.4K likes. Okay, I'm just saying, this week on my... We do things and we want to let everybody know what we did. The Bible says it doesn't work that way. So he says, they have the reward. Look at the next verse, verse 3. He says, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Again, verse 4. But that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who is in secret himself will reward you openly. Let me answer a couple quick questions and bring this to close. Why is giving so important? Write this down. Number one, giving determines where God places in your life. Now, that's really what it's about. God doesn't need your money. If you think God's got to have my money, so I'm going to listen. That's the wrong motivation. We give because we love God, and it determines where God places in your life. Let me give you a scripture for it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Look at this. This is the key verse. You don't get anything else, get this. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Here's the point. God doesn't want or need your money, or even your time or your talents, your abilities, and all the things that we try to impress God with. God wants you.
God just wants you.
He wants a relationship with you. Let me show it to you. Again, this is all in context. This is all, look where we are. We're in Matthew chapter 6. So this is still, he's still talking about those three areas, giving, praying, fasting, and he comes back to this at the end, and he puts emphasis on this area. In verse 24, that same chapter, he says this, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, and that money, in one translation, is mammon. It could mean a lot of things. It's the little g. It's those things that we go after that we're so obsessed with those things, and God says, I can't compete with that. I got to be first in your life. I got to be first in your life. It's okay to have other things, but God wants to know where he places in your life. And then he concludes it with this scripture that's in the 33rd verse that says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So he says, you're worrying about what you're going to put on, your food, your clothes, all this stuff, your retirement, your jobs. He says, if you'll go after me, take care of my business, I'm going to take care of your business. It's going to chase you down. Can I get a good amen, everybody? All right. So why is giving so important? Giving determines where God places in your life. And that's really what salvation is all about, is reordering your life to reflect that God is first. Number two, why is giving so important? Giving determines who God can use to bring life to others. Giving determines who God can use to bring life to others. God wants to bless us, not just to bless us. He loves us, but he wants to bless us to be a blessing. He wants to release heaven into your life, and he does that when he sees you releasing and giving. He opens up the windows of heaven so that you can be that conduit through which he can flow. And guess what? You get blessed in the process. You get to experience heaven as it's flowing through you. I had a conversation with somebody yesterday about leading someone to Christ, and I said, the exciting thing about that when you're out there and you're leading someone to Christ is that God's more interested in them coming to him than you are. And when God begins to use you, you can sense and feel his presence and his words flowing through you to reach out to them. You became his hands extended. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. And this is what giving does. It determines who God can use to bring life to others. It opens up your life to be a recipient and a conduit of God's blessings. And after all, as I stated, giving is the very nature of who God is. And when we follow him, we receive the spirit of giving, and we have that same giving spirit. It's found in the nugget, they say, of the gospel, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Look at this. His motive was right. God loved. And he didn't just end there and say, well, I'm praying, I'm fasting, what else do you want me to do? He took action. He gave his one and only Son. And it caused us, as we believe on him, is what he gave us, eternal life. He gave, and look at this, I love this. He gave first, not knowing whether we would accept him or not. He didn't go to the cross and say, wait, are you going to accept me? Before they put this nail in my hand, are you going to accept me? No, he went ahead and laid his life down, not knowing whether you're going to accept him or not. And see, sometimes we say, well, I got to know, I got to have assurance before I step out and give and do. And Jesus set the example. He gave first, right? And it produced for us eternal life. And so the greatest thing, write this down, the greatest thing you can give to God, we're talking about giving today, the greatest thing that you can give him is to give God yourself. Yourself. And that's really what he wants. Write that down and bow your heads with me if you would. Jesus said, and when you give, I want to tell you, when you give God your life, you see, he's already given his life for you. The free gift of life eternal, and the fullness of life that you can enjoy now is already available. He's already given it. And he's standing like on the threshold of your heart, if you want to picture it that way, with this gift of life, saying, I want to give this to you. I want to give this to you. It's my gift. It's nothing you're going to do to earn it, deserve it. It's just a gift. So this message is just not a message about finances. And when we think about giving, that's usually where we always go, but really it's much, much more than that. It's about the fact that God gave his life for us. And even for us to receive that life, it requires some giving from us. There's something we have to give. And that's giving him our life. By saying, God, I need to open my heart to you. So I release, I surrender, I give my life to you. And it's a pretty good deal, because we give him our life, and for all of us, not some of us, all of us, our life's messed up without him. We're all in this thing together. But we give him our mess, and he gives us his life, which is perfect. So that our position with God, our Father, is no longer flawed, but it's perfect through his Son. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's called the Great Exchange, the place of the cross. He gives us his robe of righteousness, and all we have to offer is rags, filthy rags of unrighteousness. But God said, I've already purchased it for you. I've already paid your debt. And I've given you life. Today, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to offer you that gift today. And it's simply received again by us giving our life to him. So I want to help lead you in a prayer. If that's you today, and you say, that's me. I need this life. The life I'm living is not working. Maybe there's some area of your life that is just messed up, and you haven't just surrendered all of it. Some area you need to surrender. Maybe you've never given your life to God, or you have and you're not where you know you need to be at this point. I want to lead you in a prayer of surrendering, of giving your life to him. And I'm just going to help you with the words. And if you're watching online, I encourage you to join with us. And if you're sitting in this place and say, Pastor, that's me, today's the day. Now's my moment. I'm ready to surrender my life. If that's you, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not going to call you to the front or embarrass you or have you stand or anything like that. I'm just going to pray with you right where you're seated. But if that's you, just slip up a hand right now. I want to know those that I'm praying with. God bless you today. Good job. Good job. Yes, good job. Yes, amen. Good job. Proud of you. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. I'm just going to help you with the words. All you got to do is mean it. You can join us online if you're watching. But just pray something like this from your heart. Come on, everybody pray this for support for those that need to pray it. Just pray this out loud from your heart. Just say, thank you, God, for giving your life for me. Today I give you my life. Open my heart. I invite you to come in. Change me. Forgive me for going my way. Today I thank you for paying a debt that I cannot pay. I receive what you did for me when you laid your life down for me and you paid for my debt. Thank you, God. I turn from my way and I receive you now. Come on, say this. I give you my life and I will follow you as you help me all the days of my life. Father, I thank you for every person who needed to pray that prayer and prayed that prayer. Lord, according to your word, they that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. According to your word, this moment, the past is gone, it's forgiven, and it is a new day. According to your word, you've now come and reside on the inside, God, and you make us brand new. Today, there's a new name written down in heaven. Today is a new beginning. And I thank you that today heaven rejoices and I rejoice with them. Oh God, over these lives that have been changed. Lord, according to your word and according to our faith, it is done. Not according to our feeling or our emotions, but according to your word. God, I thank you for this day. And God, I pray over every person who just made this best decision of their life. I pray step by step, day by day, that they will follow you. They'll go on to know you. God, they'll fully, Lord, find freedom. God, discover the purpose of why you've made them, God. And God, then just begin to use their life in making a difference. And God, in being able to see other lives change, God. Thank you, Lord, as a church, help us to pour out of ourselves into others, Lord. As you pour into us, Lord, let us pour into others and see lives change forever. And God, for everything accomplished, we give you all the glory, all the credit, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. Come on, let's thank God for changed lives today.